News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
WhatsApp us 087 1400 106 or email clareburn@newstalk.com. Now, the ESRI is warning today that food prices may well increase again later in the year. They also warn that though the economy is doing well, spending will have to be tightly controlled in the face of international uncertainty and ahead of the public sector pay negotiations, which are coming down the track. Alan Barrett is research professor at the ESRI and he joins me now. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Claire.
So first to the good news, you are happy the economy is doing well despite all of that international uncertainty around.
Absolutely. I mean, for quite a while now, it seems we've been talking about sort of international challenges and international uncertainty. But one of the remarkable features of the Irish economy over the last sort of, 10 years is the fact that the economy continues to grow. So looking ahead for the remainder of this year and into next year, we see the economy growing. We use the measure modified domestic demand. We won't get too technical or boring about it, but it's, it'll grow by about 2.6%. This year, 2.8% next year. That will translate into sort of ongoing employment increases. So, in spite of all the headwinds, in spite of all the difficulties, we do see growth in the economy, but we do see a couple of challenges as well. So I don't know, do you want to move on to the challenges,
Claire?
Yeah,
listen, we'll talk about those because I think that the headline one that people are talking about this morning is this warning that food prices may increase later in the year. Now, we have seen Brent crude drop again overnight to lower than what it was before the conflict started. Does the warning still stand?
I'm afraid it does. So we have conducted sort of analysis here because we were trying to get a sense of the extent to which, the fuel price increases, how do they follow through into other areas of the economy? And of course, it's not just fuel prices that have increased. Fertilizer prices have increased and there's a sort of a whole range of other things. So it's obviously good news that things seem to be moving in the right direction in the Middle East and with the oil price. But you do have these sort of lagged effects. And essentially what the analysis showed is that sort of historically, if you look at, when energy prices have spiked, increased or whatever like that, the impact on food prices can be about sort of 8 or 10 months later. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Even if you sort of think about something as simple as, when does planting happen? And, say if planting is lesser than it otherwise would have been, you can have these sort of longer run effects. So the concern here is that even though we expect the energy price increases to sort of moderate, those longer run effects can still be there, whereby sort of inflation for the year we think will average around sort of 3.5 to 4%. There'll still be inflation, it looks like, in the system next year. So it will ease, but the government is going to have to sort of keep monitoring this sort of situation. And of course, on the specific of food prices, we just know that because food price inflation tends to affect people in lower parts of the income distribution more because the higher proportion of their spending on food, that's always a specific concern.
What about housing? Because you have revised upwards the number of homes that you expect to see built this year and next. And that'll be good news, of course, for all of the people who desperately need a home. But then you express a concern that house building might slow. So what's informing that?
Well, there's two dimensions. I mean, firstly, you're right. I mean, it is a welcome development that the housing completions seem to be increasing. Of course, the difficulty is that they're not really increasing at the rate that we need to see. So we think next year we might sort of nudge over the 40,000 completions. The difficulty is we really need 50 or 60,000 to be making sort of serious inroads into the housing crisis. So look, there's two difficulties. I mean, one is just the inflation issue we've talked about. So, in the same way that the fuel price increases feeds into sort of, food inflation, it also feeds into construction inflation. And that's something that could dampen activity. But the other concern we have, it's more data driven. When you're trying to forecast things in general, there's lots of things you try and use to give you some sort of sense of what's coming down the line. And one of the things that's really useful in looking at housing forecasts is to look at planning permissions, okay? Because this gives you a sense of, well, what's the activity in the system? And like something that gets planning permission today would normally translate into a house, in a year or 18 months. Now, what we're seeing is a level of planning permissions that doesn't point to a sort of a strong and sustained acceleration in house building. So that's really where we're sort of concerned. We just don't really see it. We certainly see things looking pretty well, you know, and moving to a certain extent, but just not with the level of trajectory that we'd hope for.
I just wonder why that is the case, given the level of government investment alone in housing.
Yeah, no, you ask an interesting question. And I mean, look, this sort of mystery continues. I mean, I think one of the big efforts on behalf of the government now, though, is this sort of accelerated infrastructure program that they're moving on. So again, your listeners will probably be familiar that the government is really now proactively trying to identify the sort of the blockages in the system. And if it's, for example, is it the planning problem? Is it the need for sort of more water or electricity infrastructure? So there are a range of things that the government is now looking at and sort of, you know, really hoping that things will start moving. It's just the difficulty. Our forecast horizon is sort of over the next 18 months. I think all of those government sort of policies, they're very welcome and very positive developments. It just takes time for these things to, you know, really start paying off. So that's why, I mean, I hate being negative and I hate being sort of, you know, having the sort of a pessimistic tone about this, but it's that it's just difficult to see that dramatic lift off over the forecast horizon.
Now, you've also warned about doing deals into the future when the coffers are full, and you base that around concerns that were raised in light of the deal that was struck to end the fuel protests. So that was an untargeted solution that was put on the table. So why does that concern you?
Well, OK, I mean, Ireland is in a really strange position at the moment in terms of the public finances. So on the one hand, we have a remarkable amounts of money flowing into the exchequer. OK, and obviously that's a good thing and to be welcomed. The difficulty is that a lot of people, ESRI included, but also the Fiscal Council and others, are just worried about the long term sustainability of the money that's flowing in. So, you know, the headline figures look really good, but if you start looking beneath the surface, there's a sort of a concern there and a vulnerability. And I mean, for any government, and I mean, this isn't overly surprising, when you have huge amounts of money, there are huge demands and it can be very, very difficult to resist the demands. So when, you know, we and others looked at the fuel protests earlier on in the year and the government's reaction in terms of the, you know, the fuel package, we were a bit concerned. We didn't have a problem with the fuel package. We just had the difficulty how untargeted it was. And there was a sense that there was a sort of a jump to get money out as quickly as possible. So, you know, when you've got a situation that there's the ready availability of the revenue on the one hand and really intense political pressure on the other, it does raise this concern that public money is not going to be spent as optimally as possible. So, you know, the next occasion in which the government is going to be under huge amounts of pressure is under the public sector pay talks. Just to be clear, we absolutely believe public servants are entitled to pay increases to cushion them against inflation as well. Have to be open and transparent. I will benefit from any such agreement as well. Our hope, though, is that both the government and the union side will have some degree of cognizance of this sort of fragility in the public finances, so that, you know, sound, rational, long term decisions are being made, and not a sort of a lazy or a weak approach to the analysis of how much money is truly available.
But you saw the reaction of some of the public sector unions in light of the fuel protest deal, you know, where it was proven that the way to get your result, the one that you're looking for, is to, you know, down tools, block the roads and make it happen.
No, absolutely, Claire. And I mean, to be perfectly honest, I think it was that sort of rhetoric was one of the reasons that we were sort of prompted to think about this as seriously as we are. So, yes, and I mean, and the unions have a job to do. We sort of understand that as well. But I think the job of the ESRI and organisations like ours are just to sort of, you know, raise the concerns, make sure the issues are on, you know, on the agenda. And that notion of understanding that just because the money is flowing in right now doesn't mean it's going to flow in as readily, you know, forevermore. And so, you know, it's always important that we send public money as wisely as possible.
Now, the government, as we head towards the next budget, the budget for 2027 in October, all seem to be on the same page when it comes to tax cuts. Given what you've said today, would that be ill-advised?
I mean, normally the response economists give to that is tax cuts are fine and everything like that, as long as they're, you know, the expenditure side of the ledger is treated in the same way. I mean, really, the important thing here overall is the balance, you know, between these sort of things. So if it's the case that there will be tax cuts, I mean, you know, well, then obviously there, something has to happen on the other side. I mean, I would be certainly slightly concerned. Say, for example, last year, tax cuts of the sort, like the VAT reduction for the hospitality sector, there wasn't a huge amount of evidence to suggest that that was going to be a sort of a, you know, an impactful policy for a whole range of people. You know, it was a very narrow tax cut. And again, lots of questions, a very expensive tax cut, and lots of questions about how advisable that was. You know, we remain to see what Simon Harris has in mind in terms of, for example, the proposal around the you know, the savings and investment tax proposals that he might have. You know, this is the helping out the middle class. Again, I know a lot of people are concerned that maybe that's not the you know, most useful tax cut, if I can put it like that. So, you know, overall balance in the public finances, that's what's important. But where there are tax cuts, I hope they're sane and sensible.
All right. Well, we'll wait to see what happens. And our listeners, you know, it's the fuel prices really that are bothering them today, because we did mention that the price of Brent crude has gone way down this week, and they're wondering when the cost of their fuel is going to come down at the pump. But as we know, up like a rocket, down like a feather, Alan, that's what happens.
Seems to be. But anyway, that's we'll leave that one for another day.
Alan, thank you very much. That's Alan Barrett there from the ESRI.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.